And welcome to Last Time On. This is the podcast for people who want to watch all the prestige television, but who has time for it?
I know I don't.
And I don't either.
I'm Jafar.
I'm Ben.
I'm Victor.
Fucking what the fucking fuck? Who the fuck?
JK.
I'm just not kidding. Here.
I'm Beth. I am Jafar's partner.
I am Glorianne or Glow, and I am Ben's wife.
And I'm Laura, and I am of no romantic relation to Victor. Sorry, Victor. Yeah, I'm just from the Who Are You podcast, and I'm filling in today.
All right, guys. I think we're going to be doing what Ben wanted to be doing for our podcast.
Yeah, was he super jealous?
You know, I don't know if he was necessarily jealous, but he definitely was really on me to make sure that I watch it. He, like, after I took a nap, he set up the laptop and there was, you know, a notepad ready for me. He was very serious about me doing this correctly, so I don't want to fail him. My marriage is on the line.
Oh, God. I don't think this is the show to put your marriage in jeopardy for, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, I was really excited to learn that there was a show about vipers. You know, my dad, he worked for Chrysler, and back in the 90s, back when, you know, corporations took their clients out and, you know, we did fun things and the economy wasn't absolutely destroyed.
Sure.
The good old days.
We went out to the shows and things like that. And the Viper was really cool and the Prowler and all those really cool Chrysler based products. So seeing a show all about a Viper is pretty sweet. Brings back some nostalgia.
I was today years old when I remembered that the Viper was a real car.
Were you watching it and you were like, oh.
I forgot all about that. So this was it a Viper?
Yeah, it looked like a Viper.
Cool.
But did they do something cool with the grill? I don't know if the real Vipers had those fangs on the front.
I didn't even see the fangs. Wow.
Okay.
I mean, I hope they had fangs on the front. Like, if we're doing...
Yeah.
If they all sounded like they had the names of deodorant, you know, of men's deodorant, really. Like, Viper and Defender. Like... So if you're going to go with that through line, just put some fangs on it, too. Like, really hammer it home. Man things.
And I know we'll get into it when we get into our notes and things like that, but did the Viper's body color change from red to silver at one point? Am I crazy?
Okay. I think that was armor.
That is a different car, I think.
Okay.
I'm not positive.
I don't know.
We see the Viper. The Viper does nothing. Except, like, be a car. And then, like, they're in some crappy little sedan, right, at some point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then the silver car, they keep referring to as the Defender. So I don't know if that's, like, the shield for the Viper or if that's, like, a different car entirely.
That's a great question that I don't think we have an answer to.
No answers whatsoever.
We are obviously... Viper enthusiasts, you know, we've watched every episode of the show. This is totally not our first episode, but
yeah, cars definitely probably not.
My deodorant is called gunpowder.
Well, ladies, I know that we're all joyfully attached to individuals in our lives, but what do you say we go on a little manhunt? It's season 2, episode 12 of Viper that we're covering today. Title, Manhunt.
Was it season 2, episode 12, or episode 13? I have 13 written down.
Episode 12.
Okay, I'm wrong.
No, you're lovely. So it was released on January 13th, 1997. Mm. And the synopsis, according to where I watched it, is a scientist's invention saves his life, but turns him into a cyborg, a killer cyborg. And IMDb's synopsis of it is, synopsis cannot be obtained at this time. So, like, really, I, you know, go with your gut there, I guess, dear listener.
Good thing we're here for them.
Exactly. We've totally got the synopsis on lock, right?
Guys, I'm a teacher. I have come with the receipts. I have too many notes on this, guys. Probably more notes than the script was long. So
yeah, I feel the same. I actually wound up watching the episode twice, once to just kind of like soak it in, and then another time to take the notes. And boy, was it a slog. I'm just saying.
I don't know how you did that.
Holy cow.
Just so diligent, I guess.
I had to go back several times because a lot of our main, I don't know, our detective characters were not actually named until the second half, or at least I didn't catch that. So I had like pet names for all of them.
Same.
I had Bad Goatee.
Oh, yeah. We all know who that is.
Yes. I changed Bad Goatee to Sarcastic Bad Goatee because that seemed to be his personality.
He's the sassy one. Yeah.
Yes, he is the sassy one. Then I had Redhead, Leather Jacket, and Nerdy Sexy Person of Color Lady. Because I think she was the only person of color in the entire show. I don't know if I'm wrong about that.
I think you might be right. At first, I thought that Bad Goatee was Hispanic, but I don't think that actor is actually Hispanic. I'm not sure. I didn't bother looking up too much.
I think the Marine that's guarding Fade Rotha, soon to be Leather Daddy Robot Man.
I put Leather Daddy! Yes! Leather Daddy!
Fairly certain he's a person of color. Yes.
Yes. There was a...
He had like a porn stash going on.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah, goatee guy was villain, was guy with villain goatee in my notes. So very close.
Ah. Okay.
I think he's definitely hit the just for men. I don't think that goatee is naturally that dark.
And this was the time. Sharpie.
The 90s was like the Just for Men era, right?
I believe so.
It reminds me of Darkest Timeline Abed from Community.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Totally. Definitely. Yeah.
Yep.
He's got like mirror universe goatee happening. Yeah, I feel it.
Yeah.
Should we get into the story? Yeah, should we try to dissect this thing?
Wait, can I start like the boys? We open in Media Hospital. Do you like that?
Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
Yep, perfect.
We have Dr. Russell Block and two other scientists who are drinking champagne.
Oh, no, we don't.
No.
Dr. Russell Block is Leather Daddy.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. No, it was the three. Here, don't use that. Aaron, cut that out. Somebody else do that entrance.
So we open in Media Hospital. And we have three doctors who are toasting with just some giant glasses of champagne. Did you notice how big these glasses were?
They were hilariously large.
And honestly, this was a missed opportunity to drink champagne from beakers. Let's just be real.
Right. Yeah, we have so much science in here. Why are we not using the science?
I honestly, for about a split second, thought that the dude who was pouring the champagne into the glasses was pouring like a potion into the glasses. And then I realized it was champagne and I was very disappointed, honestly. Like, I was hoping for a Jekyll and Hyde situation.
Yeah.
There was a lot of bubbling liquid for work on micro robots. Let's just say that. Yeah.
Yeah, we definitely get some later. Yeah. So they're toasting to Dr. Russell Block. And he is getting a new lease on life through the power of micro robots, I guess. I'm not sure how much of this I actually got in that moment and how much of it I got like watching it again.
Yeah. So I guess they injected him with a bunch of microchips, which is every anti-vaxxer's worst nightmare. And One of the scientists voices her concern re his mental health when he wakes up and realizes he's basically RoboCop on the inside. And the other two scientists, both men, I will point out, go, he'll be fine. He got computers in his blood. She's all like, but what about his mental health, though? Like, and they're like, oh, what that? What?
And I don't know if you guys picked this up, but I don't know. These writers are actually pretty decent at writing these female characters. It seems like, or maybe they're not. I don't know. There's a lot of, there's a female and she's always rolling her eyes at how dumb some of, or at least naive, the male characters are around them. Mm-hmm. Because she is definitely the one who knows what's going on and the others have a lot of hubris.
Yeah, she definitely understands the whole thing. Now that you say that, I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
She gets it the whole time and all these dumb idiots aren't listening to her. That's a very real lived experience.
Yeah, the workplace.
Also, happy Women's History Month.
Yeah.
I know we're doing this before April, but...
Yeah. So we cut to a single guard outside of Dr. Russell Block's room. And he has just been so engrossed in that latest Danielle Steele novel that he has not noticed that the bed is now empty.
The original TikTok book club. Good for him.
Good for him.
But yeah, so he goes into the room and dude jumps down from the ceiling looking like Fade Rotha and launches... said dude into wall, and then he starts arguing with the evil voice inside his head on whether or not he should help the dude he launched into a wall.
And you mentioned Jekyll and Hyde earlier. This is, I was getting really big Jekyll and Hyde vibes from this.
Samesies.
And then we had Baldy break through the glass and run away.
Yeah, he just like launches himself right out a plate glass window.
Yeah. Dude, did you guys see the maybe like 3 seconds of him, I don't know, like cartoonishly running? I don't even know what kind of effects they had back then. I don't know if they just sped him up or what was going on, but man, it was interesting.
He's a real Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
he's so fast that the guard who's like in the booth at the parking lot, you know, does not even like move after him. They just like watch him go.
They're just like, I mean, I could go get him, but I'm still on my first cup of coffee. Am I right, guys? Like,
And it makes you wonder what the nature of this facility is. Is it all experiments or is it a veterans hospital or there's a lot of guards and a lot of military, but on the inside there's like sexy nurses walking around or at least one sexy nurse that they put in a couple of scenes. I don't know if you guys noticed the redhead that just is in every scene.
There's one nurse in the entire hospital and she's very tired.
Yeah. And like in the old school, I don't know, in the, this was the 90s, right? Or early 2000s. Okay. 90s. I don't know if they were still in the white button-ups and the skirts and stuff like that, but she was definitely rocking that old school nurse outfit.
Retro.
Typically, my aunts who were nurses did just wear scrub pants, so I think maybe this was like a wishful thinking hospital on the gross writer's parts. I don't know.
No clue.
So then we go to theme. What did you ladies think of this theme?
Well, I mean, the catchphrase is really deep. Like, it prowls the streets in search of justice. Its origins are secret. It's it was definitely harrowing, but yeah. And it looked like, I don't know, the beginning was like the reveal of a concept car at an auto show.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
This theme really set up that this show is about the car, and I did not feel like this episode was about that car at all.
It makes me wonder. That was my problem. Yeah, it makes me wonder if we get more car in other episodes because I wanted to see the car do more.
Yeah, like it talked a big game, and I was like super pumped. I was ready. I was ready to see this car fight bad guys. And the car just rolls up in the parking garage. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's what it does. The end. roll credits.
And like, yeah. The car was definitely a car. Like, I don't know. I was expecting it to, I don't know, have some autonomy or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like Knight Rider.
Like Knight Rider.
Exactly.
Yes. Right. Like Knight Rider.
Just missed opportunities all over the place here. Yeah. So.
Oh. Yeah. You go. Sorry.
Okay. All right. So we come back from theme and we've got our classic harried FBI suit briefing the Viper team. And at this point, because I didn't know anybody's names, I called the... I think his name is Tom. I called Tom Dollar Store Miami Vice.
Yes, so good.
He's obviously the lead because he's the white man on the team. So, yeah. Or, you know, I guess there's probably two white men. Not totally sure about that, but he's the one the most white. He's the most white man. Yeah,
he is the most leather jacket.
He is the whitest white, and also looks like salt is too spicy because he's too white. Like,
he is
conventionally attractive.
Yeah.
In the 90s way.
Okay. Sorry. No.
Beth, do you have thoughts?
I don't know. Because about 5 seconds in, you realize he's very incel-y. And so it's hard for me to separate that from his face.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. He's the conventionally attractive on the outside, but also just definitely not emotionally healthy. On the inside.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, and when we start learning about his relationships with like Valerie, and he hasn't talked to his best friend in a while, I'm sure we'll get into that later. But like, it makes you wonder if all of the episodes are the new relationship of the week.
Yeah.
Like maybe how many girlfriends has he had? How many, you know, sexy side characters are we going to have in this show because they're all dating Cole?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great question.
And he gets so huffy, you know, like, oh, I'm not doing this.
Well, part of that, I think, might be that he and this FBI agent have some kind of previous beef. It seems like there's something there. So I wanted to ask you, ladies, what happened, her?
But I got the van.
Okay, this is what happened.
Yes.
What happened was he and the FBI guy had a fling when they were both in Quantico, and then incel Leatherman left, and he broke the heart of the FBI guy to go pursue his dreams of riding around in a possibly really cool car, possibly robot car. And the FBI guy has never forgiven him. But oh my god, horrible twist in both of their lives. FBI guy is now the boss of incel Leatherman. And everybody's uncomfortable all the time.
That would definitely influence my rewatch of this episode if I ever chose to do that.
Don't recommend.
I mean, you're the one who watched it twice, Laura. I'm so sorry.
I did it so you don't have to.
Yeah, I ADHD'd really hard on this one. There was some taking notes and then eating a snack and then taking some notes and then eating a snack. Like,
yep.
I'll take my shot on what happened her. I think that there was a 90s X-File-esque episode where the Viper definitely had to help fight off some aliens. They had to call in the FBI, and there was some anal probing, there was some body swapping, there was some amnesia, and they have been through a lot together, but maybe they don't remember all of it. Okay. And we definitely had Viper in space.
Yeah. Viper in space had to happen.
Viper in space. Yes. Absolutely.
I will tell you, Glow, that one of my predictions for the rest of the show is that involves several crossover episodes with the X-Files. So I love that. Love that. Yes.
I love that we're on the same page with that.
Me too.
So on the street, Dr. Block is still half naked and talking to the voices, really healthy. We find out it's really just one voice because it's the robot.
Yes.
He gets pulled into a building by some street toughs.
Can we back up for a minute and talk about the fact that the actor very clearly put on his own prosthetic in the dark for this scene?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
What do you mean?
If you look at it, it looks like the chest prosthetic was taped on with like white duct tape, and then they just painted over it with like a peach crayon or something.
What?
Yeah.
It's like, pretty it is, bad.
It's top tier.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Like, we didn't even need to have a prosthetic necessarily because we've established these are micro robots. I guess there's actually like a central robot too, and that's what the prosthetic is. But like, if you have micro robots, you can just have the dude be a dude. Like,
yeah.
True.
I mean, we're all walking around with micro robots from all of our vaccines. So like, and none of us have sweet chest prosthetics. We just have 5G.
Last time on is now about the truth, ladies and gentlemen. We have hijacked it from Javert, Ben, and Vic.
They just don't bring you enough truth, guys.
It's true. We're here. We're here for you.
And they never guest hosted again.
But really, can we talk about his contacts, though?
Yeah. Are these contacts? I thought maybe in like post they were just putting extra shine on his eyes or something. Right? It's really weird what they do to indicate when like the robot's in control.
Yeah, it's pretty though. Whatever they did, it's, I don't know, I like it.
It is. It's like a very it's a very beautiful like topazy amber situation they got going on. However, they use it kind of inkily, I think, because like there are scenes where I wasn't sure if I was talking to Leather Daddy Robot or if I was talking to Russ, you know? And when I say talk to, I mean yell at. But like,
we should probably explain why we're calling him Leather Daddy Robot.
Because yeah, this happens now.
He is naked from the top up, and he has scrub pants on at this point, running through the city. But we run into some. I don't know. They keep on using the same alley. I don't know if you guys noticed that. Just to to signify the bad part of town.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. We have some stereotypical, I don't know, Italian mobsters, maybe. But they're wearing leather. Yeah.
I mean, they contain multitudes, you know. They do clubbing in their leathers in the midnights. And then before that, they do crime. So, you know.
The bit of comedy here.
No, go you ahead. Go.
The bit of comedy here where the toughs pull him into the building and then we just start get people just throwing shit from the set just all around in the back. That was pretty fun. I did enjoy that.
It was very good. They go behind like basically an industrial screen inside of a building throwing stuff around.
Scares the little old lady. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The homeless lady with the scraggly hair, she gets startled and runs away.
See, I interpreted that as like she got pulled in by the leather mafia first and then like saw, oh, okay. So like they're throwing shit around in there. This is my chance. Like for escape.
Oh, to get away.
Yeah.
Wait. I want to know her story now. Women's History Month. Last time on. What's up with screaming unhoused lady?
Laura, indeed. What happened to her?
Wait, are we allowed to do two what happened hers?
Oh, we can do as many as we want, I think.
Has science gone far enough? Is it actually-
no
it's
rules.
It's our show now.
Yeah.
Wait, so Beth kind of explained what happened to her.
Well.
Yeah.
Okay. So she was a dancer. Actually quite a good dancer, and she got her foot run over by one of those, my sister called them big diggers, but I know that's not what they're called, those like backhoes on a construction site where she had been drinking with one of her friends, and so she was out of work for a little bit and started her own craft store with cats, so you can actually adopt all of the cats that are available at this craft store. But it's also a shelter, and you can buy, you know, embroidery floss. And she's having a great time. And also, you know, was just kind of having an off hair day, because it was not a day where she was washing her hair, you know? And she was walking down the alley because she saw a new cat that she needed. And the dudes took her and put her on the couch, and she was like too little to run away, right? So then other dude comes up and they start fighting, and she's like, I'm gonna grab that cat and I'm gonna go back to my store.
Wow,
that's a backstory.
That's it. Really, it's humanizes beautiful. Her. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah.
I definitely think that she's an artist. You've gone the performing artist route. I'm going to go the visual artist route.
Okay.
And she's just kind of submersing herself in this alley culture because she wants to take up graffiti art next. We've got graffiti on the side of this building that we see a couple times.
Yeah.
So she's looking at that and critiquing it and developing it into something of her own.
The Hunter S. Thompson of graffiti art. I love
beautiful.
That.
What do you think, Chloe?
Well, I think that, you know, this is a fallen lady situation, unfortunately. You know, think Rizabella. You know, she's kind of the human glamour cat. She just sits and sits and watches these old men and really just, you know, stays for the spaghetti. Because they are Italian leather mobster daddies. And that's why she's sitting here. And when she sees the robot, she knows it's time to go.
No more gabagool for her.
No more gabagool.
She's got a gabagool, if you will.
I got a gabagool.
So MacGyver from Wish explains his beef. Pause for laughter.
It was very good, Laura.
Thank you.
Yes.
He explains his beef with Valerie, that we find out the blonde doctor was Valerie Reed, and she took his college bro away from him. You know, they just got married and he never talked to him anymore. And he's real butthurt about, no, sorry, we're not going to use that one either. He's just real hurt about that.
Okay, yeah. Listen, here's my thing though. They were roommates because you're not going to stop talking to your best friend if he gets married. Like, and then like,
oh,
yeah,
he just didn't know what this was. Yeah.
I think they practiced kissing on each other and then he got a wife.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
That's why he needs a leather jacket.
Exactly.
He needs to look tough.
Exactly.
All of his emotions are just in the leather jacket.
Despite all his rage, he is still just a rat in a leather cage, if you will.
But
probably until the next episode where we get another sexy scientist or doctor or FBI agent or someone that he interacts with.
Oh, yeah.
So the FBI suit is lecturing the scientists about playing God. Everybody's really free with their opinions about ethics here.
There is no HR, only God.
Yeah. They're shocked that these nanobots that they created to make soldiers more aggressive are acting aggressively.
Ooh, what a thug.
The consequences of my own actions. Oh.
Yeah, and then one of the doctors goes to a different room to go over the research on a computer from the early 80s to figure out what went wrong with the aggressive microchips acting aggressive.
Who could have thought?
Right. Certainly not I.
He realizes too late that Russell is in the room. He's behind him.
Look behind you.
And we find that the old scientist, his name is Dr. Newhouse.
Oh, yes.
Yep. So we have Dr. Newhouse. I did call him Boomer Scientist up until then.
Not wrong.
No, I mean, at that point, he might have been Greatest Gen.
Silent Gen. That's
Silent
after.
Gen. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, he was silenced. Spoiler.
Yes. With the classic robot taking you by the throat and sliding you up the wall trick.
Yeah, I definitely wrote that he squishes research doc a la Darth Vader.
Yes.
And then we get a classic slow-mo 90s clip of Leather Daddy Robot destroying the lab. With the obligatory 90s drum hits. The do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Again, so many beakers. So much liquid for a robot project.
I feel like liquids around your robots is a bad idea, right?
Maybe they're those robots that need hydration. They're hydrating robots.
Little hydraulic robots. Yeah, with little Stanleys.
Yeah.
This This episode has big title potential. I'm very excited.
Yeah. This episode brought to you by Stanley. No,
sadly. Yeah, so he really adds insult to injury by crushing up the floppy disks in his rage. This was pretty funny.
Yeah. Yep, that's what those were. Thank you.
And we do learn that the robot project is called the Lazarus Project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not super smartly named, you know, not very clever, but, you know, we know what it's about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Unless they named it after, like, the Sylvia Plath poem, in which case, you know, still on the nose, but, like, a little artsy. Like, good for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Valerie tries to go home and rest after this, but Russell gets the jump on her in the parking garage.
Which is, and we finally get to see Viper. Yes. And Viper does, drumroll please, nothing. Literally nothing. Nothing.
And this is Red Viper this time.
Yes.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. I was so underwhelmed. It's just Viper in a parking structure and does nothing interesting.
Maybe Viper is also afraid of getting ambushed in a parking garage like I am. Maybe
a valid fear. Yeah,
we share the same phobia, and it just got too startled.
Real question for you guys. So it's, who is it? Redhead and Frankie are in the car? No, it's Cole and Redhead, right?
It's No-Nonsense, Badass Lady, and Leather Incel. Yes.
Yeah. Is her name Westlink?
It was Westlake, maybe. They West say Lake? Her name the least, I think.
The least, yeah.
Do. Yeah.
And I'm wondering, they come out with guns drawn, and I'm wondering if you guys got the vibe, are they law enforcement? Are they a special branch of the military? Did you guys get a vibe on what their job is?
Okay, I think it's a really good time for us to play Let's Get Weird With It.
Let's get weird!
Hey! Love it.
How did it get this way, y'all?
Maybe they are a ragtag group that came together. You know how the groups of four come together to do a thing and then they're like heroes and stuff? So we had a ragtag group of four and they loved messing around with this car. You know, that's a thing we do. We all work on the car together and we try to make it as cool and sexy as we can.
Fast and Furious.
And then they
vibes.
Were like, they took the car to like a race and there was like, branch of the secret military there observing and trying to like recruit, and they saw how cool this team was with their cool car and decided to rope them into the secret military where we're gonna protect everyone in secret.
Okay,
love the Fast and the Furious vibes, Laura. Very good.
Amazing. Yes. I'm thinking an Animorphs situation.
Okay.
Ooh.
So they're walking across a junkyard together. They all tangentially know each other from various places. And they stumble upon a cube. And then it's gifted to them by an Andalite. It's just straight up Animorphs. But they find the car abandoned. And like it starts talking to them. And then they're all bonded together by this car that leads them to its secret warehouse that they rebuild. And then the FBI gets a hold of it, and now they work for the FBI.
Love that. Okay, so mine is, there was actually a fifth member of their squad.
Okay.
And a lot of what they do is in memory of this fifth member. We'll call him Jim, okay? And Jim was a mechanic. It was their mechanic, right? And he stumbles upon just a special car that he buys from a shady situation, right? And everybody who is in this team just happened to be getting their cars serviced by Jim that day and notice that there's something really special about this Viper that's in the shop. And there's some sort of explosion and Jim's soul gets sucked into the Viper.
Yeah, obviously.
And, yes. And now the Viper is endowed with all of Jim's special knowledge about car repair, but also his need to kick butt and for justice.
Mm.
So that's mine.
I love that.
I love it.
Okay.
But so sorry, you were you going?
No. You go.
Okay. Okay. So in the parking garage, Russ like threatens her a little bit and then takes off when the Viper shows up.
Jumps from a very high height again, and everybody is so impressed.
Mm-hmm. Everyone is so impressed. A human couldn't do that, but oh, maybe we're not dealing with a human anymore. Mm-hmm.
The only person who wasn't super impressed by the leaping off the building was Leather Incel, who was all like, why didn't Russ recognize me? Again,
oh, right.
Leading
He's
to the theory, right? They were roommates, man.
Oh, yeah. He's really hurt by this.
Dude, there's some roommate ability happening here.
The FBI decides that the solution to this guy getting in is obviously to strap the jumper cables to the chain link fence.
Yep.
And we're going to electrify it.
Just so weird. And then they say, okay, but we also have a mile, I don't know, perimeter around this place, but they definitely had to put the jumper cables on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But then it leads to such an incredible dialogue exchange between FBI guy and villain goatee guy that I recorded it in my notebook. A dramatic
regale
reading.
Us.
FBI guy, what are you, hard of hearing? Villain goatee guy, what are you, Elliot Ness? It makes no sense, and I fucking love it.
Love it.
That's how we know he's the sassy one, though. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I need that on a sticker.
And Valerie, I just took a note here. Valerie has had enough of overconfident men.
Yes, she has.
She's just behind this desk, like CEO of her world. And just so over these men she's working with. It's crazy.
Yeah. And then the other extremely competent person, the woman of color who is apparently the one who knows all about the physics and the electromagnetism.
Allie.
I've been calling her the woman in the chair, like the man in the chair, you know, she's the woman in the chair.
They do later on call her Allie
near
the end of the episode.
And we do get her name eventually.
I want to know more about her character. She seems like the coolest.
Right.
She has just a level-headed and she's smart. And like one of the times, I don't know where I put the notes, but like holy legs. Like this girl has some banging legs.
She's Grace under pressure, which
mm-hmm.
like.
Yeah. Leather Jacket thinks he's in charge of this team. She's really in charge of this team.
Oh, she is. But so I said for the whole Val and Cole thing, right? Because they're in Val's office. Cole just comes storming in and starts being a victim-blamey weirdo at Val. Because he's like, well, why did you do this? If you thought this was a possibility, why would you do this? And then like it turns into them hugging and I don't know how we got there.
Yeah. Everybody has opinions that they love to share about whether or not this should have been done. And it's one of those things where, again, it's like, money, you were in the room, so maybe just shut up. Like,
And also, how many of them have a degree in science? Because, like, you know? But and then they start hugging. And then, of course, they're hugging in front of a fucking window, right? Mm-hmm. And
We're not to the window yet.
We're not to the window yet. No,
because she finally explains to us what the program was, like why Dr. Block got hurt, basically.
Yeah. Okay. I know where we are now.
And, you know, you guys can check me on this. Basically, she explains to Cole that they were testing their micro robot's reaction to radioactivity. Russell Block got a lethal dose, and the only way to save him was to fix him with the micro robots.
And I think that that's where the chest prosthetic comes in. Like, I think maybe what had happened here was that he got blasted in the chest with the radiation and maybe they put the metal in there to keep everything all set where it's supposed to be.
I'll take that explanation. Mm-hmm. They also say that 75% of his skin was replaced with Kevlar.
I caught that too.
What? So yeah, he's his real whole super body, soldier. Yeah, his whole body is just a gun repellent, bulletproof vest.
Yeah. Perfect. What could go wrong here?
And honestly, I have a note here. I didn't really catch that Block was Valerie's husband until then. I know that it had been insinuated, but that's when it finally was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, there were definitely some very interesting writing choices that the rest of us would not have made. I think 95% of the writers would not have made. But yeah, and so like you're not really like you kind of get hints, but it's not really spoken about until somebody's like, hey, he was your husband, and like they could have done it differently.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, a lot of interesting writing choices here, especially the choice to have Block's character monologue so many things about the robots, which I think that's the scene we move into next. Is so he's on like a rooftop and he's just monologuing about these robots and creating a magnet from a nail. Which I could see we'd probably do need to monologue that because that's a thing I forgot people could do somehow with electricity and metal.
I think we're not there yet.
We're not?
No.
Wait. We did have one scene before that where it was just the outside military operation ramping up, but I didn't. There wasn't much about it that I have in my notes, at least.
Because the Leather Daddy steals the shotgun first from the car. And then
yet. Hold on. No.
What?
That's after the nail on the roof scene.
Y'all, I completely skipped an entire page of notes.
Awesome. Yeah.
But I mean, going back to the magnified nail the magnified nail thing, it was really giving me flashbacks to playing with, magnet station back in elementary school, magnifying the nail and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. And do you guys remember what he was trying to do by shoving that into his chest?
Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Because, he's monologuing because the writers don't know how to show and not tell, apparently. He is trying to activate the self-destruct system that he put in to the robots, and it's going to take 5 minutes, but it takes the whole rest of the episode, which is apparently more than five.
Yeah.
What?
I didn't catch the 5 minutes thing. I just thought it was like Magnet was supposed to disrupt the robots somehow, and yeah.
And he said it would take 5 minutes, and then 30 minutes later, we're still, what the fuck?
Yeah, yeah. And the robots don't know what he does when they're offline. Apparently, it's not because we're in your brain bits, we know all your things. They're just out, and then they come back up. So they're not gonna know that he did this, and that they should pull the nail out.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're totally right.
And then, I don't know. And the way she described it in the lab, I was kind of picturing more something like prions where, they're attacking his brain. So, I don't know. Are they turning his brain into Swiss cheese or can they access all of his memories? Pick one. Mm. Damn it.
So after this scene, we go to Allie doing hacker stuff, 90s mm-hmm. hacker stuff on computer kind of deal. I know she's not actually hacking, but they find his signal. So they're able to track him now.
Yeah, and Tom and the redhead go split up to interview the scientists while Allie is trying to figure out how do we find him. This is when Dr. Block gets a sniper rifle out of the back of a truck
This scene is so unhinged, guys. We need to talk about this.
I've been trying to talk about it.
I know, and I understand. Yes, I understand your enthusiasm, Beth, because we're back in the shady alley that they use for showing that we are in the shady part of town again.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm not a gun person. You know, I don't care about, like, guns are great, whatever, fine. But, like, do people just have sniper rifle gun racks in the back of their car?
Mm-hmm. Good question.
And do they just park them in the shady part of town for somebody to come and smash their window?
Not hidden in any way. No sort of alarm, right? Sure.
Were there more gun laws in the 90s? Like, because maybe it was a thing in the 90s. Maybe everyone was like, yeah, I got my sniper rifle A and my sniper rifle B. You want to see them? You want to go shoot some cans in the wood with my high-powered sniper rifle? Let's
from
get
half
it.
A mile away.
Yeah, it'll be fun, guys. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought he like took a shotgun until he was
Me
like
too.
On the roof, and it wasn't a shotgun.
Right.
Because it would make more sense that it was a shotgun, because it looked like, you know, a rundown old pickup truck. It's like, oh, yeah, he just, like, found it in the backseat.
Of course he has a shotgun. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You know, at least it's a little bit more normal. Yeah. But, like, we're super urban, so it's like he's not shooting squirrels with this thing. But then later on, we're like, no, this is a legit sniper rifle, because they say that he's shooting from, like, a mile away.
Right. Exactly.
So not only is it a sniper rifle, like, it is, like, a real sniper rifle.
That somebody was just like chilling with in their car. Like, did he prevent a larger crime from being committed? Ooh. Is Leather Daddy Robot the real hero?
Guys, do we have Viper headcanon now?
I think we do.
Awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, and so then he, you know, screws to the roof and gets his sniper, his stolen sniper rifle that also somehow has bullets in it. Ready to shoot, and he tells us all the calculations, and then shoots the other scientist guy in the head. At which point everyone's like, hey, maybe we should stay away from the windows.
Oh, except when they're not.
We missed something first, though. Oop. Because we go back to Valerie and Leather Jacket in the office talking about their relationship before the guy gets shot.
Yeah, the writers clearly had some shit they needed to work through, and maybe still do. I don't know, because it's more of that just whining about, like, you took my best friend away. After you guys got married, he wasn't cool anymore. And,
right.
Yeah.
He wouldn't let me practice kissing on him anymore. Like, I know I try to make everything gay, but this is really actually gay. Like...
And, I mean, the conversation is ended by sarcastic goatee entering.
Yes.
And when we come back up on the scientist, I literally wrote in my notes, oh, this scientist is about to die.
Yup.
Yeah, he's on the phone with his wife. Like,
exactly.
All the things are in place. Yeah.
He's about to die. Music. Like...
Yep.
Yeah.
He says, everything's going to be fine. Don't worry. I'm just staying here for a couple of days while they're, you know, watching me. So, you know, don't worry. And we all know he's going to get shot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can't be saying that stuff. It's like saying with great power comes great responsibility in a Spider-Man movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
He gets sniped. Poor guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I literally put my notes here, too. That this was the point where I figured out that gun that he found was a sniper rifle. And I literally, like, not only did he find a gun in the back of a truck, it was a sniper rifle. What?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Jeez. This show.
Maybe just common around robot having military secret hospital thingies.
Yeah.
And do you guys... Okay, so from here on out, we know that Block is trying to kill Valerie. Do you guys ever get a motive for that? Is it just because she created it?
Yeah, it's that. Okay. It's like they were all the ones who knew how to make another robot like that. And this robot wants to be the only one in town.
Oh, it's Frankenstein.
My name is Frankenstein!
Well, I don't know, because when we cut to Valen Cole in the office, like, Leather Daddy Robot seems very upset that Val is hugging Angry Face, another Angry Face man, Angry Face. I wrote that in my notes exactly like that, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, this robot has feelings about that, too. It's very strange.
Mm-hmm. Which is weird, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't know, man. Are you Fade Rotha or are you not Fade Rotha, dude? Like, get your shit together.
So the FBI is mad that somehow their, what do they call that? Their perimeter didn't work.
Yes.
and Allie is still searching for the frequency. She's still trying to get a lock on Dr. Block.
Yes. Guys, can I just insert something here?
Uh-huh.
When they go back to their, like, lair, right? Their super viper-y kind of their computer place. I definitely called it the Viper Pit.
I did too!
No! Just another headcanon. This is called the Viper Pit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So we're back in the Viper Pit. Please continue.
Are they pit vipers when they're in the Viper Pit? Ooh, that was a real, like, ooh. 1%er. Not 1%er, but a real, like, snake-specific joke.
Yeah.
We're
going
to go
I am
with
pit
that.
Lord Viper.
I love it.
On the street, some cops, just like general police cops, not questionable secret military cops, spot Dr. Block. Did you notice that one of these cops is literally riding shotgun? Like, he's got his shotgun like in his lap.
I did not.
I was too safe. Distracted by their extremely thick Canadian accents. But yes. Oh my
really?
God. Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, see him over there. Like, holy crap.
I was just distracted on how smart they were. Like, they did the right thing. Instead of having the bravado cops get shot, they actually let the cops be smart.
They did.
They were preserving their own skin. Yeah.
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 I was proud of them.
They could have made a dangerous person more dangerous, so good on them on not.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what we're talking about, they plan or they decide instead of engaging Block, they are going to call the FBI instead to let them know. They call Allie, don't they?
They call the Viper team, I think.
They call the Viper team. Yeah, they call the Viper team. And then so they could get the Viper team gets an incoming call, but they can't make outgoing calls. Did you guys notice that?
Yeah, because of the like.
The scrambles.
Block.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The scrambles.
The scrambles. I don't know, guys.
Yeah. So they can't get through to the hospital because they can't place that outgoing call. So the redhead and villain goatee decide that they're going to go after this supposed sighting. It's not a signal, it's a sighting. And they're going to go with the grenade launcher and the regular sedan.
Yes. Okay. Like, I made a little note here. Is Cole the only person who can drive Viper? Because Redhead is like driving a Camry. You know, I don't even know what car it was, but it was just.
I thought it was
normal...
a Camry too. So I think maybe. Yeah.
Okay. It rang. It's giving Camry.
It's giving Camry.
Yeah. And so they have their grenade launcher. They are ready to go into battle. And you just see poor Redhead doesn't get to ride in the sexy Viper car. They're driving up in a Camry with a grenade launcher.
And probably no powers to this Camry.
Oh, yeah. Like, it certainly doesn't have armor, does it?
Yeah. This clearly was not infused with anybody's soul. And that's like, why even have that car? It's going to feel inferior.
Can we make a spinoff with just the redhead and a Camry and just call it Camry?
You've convinced me.
Yeah. I feel like if she were the lead character, we'd have more fun.
And there's no powers. It's just Frankie with a grenade launcher riding shotgun.
Love it.
Thanks, guys. TM, TM, TM.
And the best part about it is they've got the crank down windows, so they don't even have the electric... They gotta crank the window all the down.
Like... just rolling it down. Excuse me, I gotta poke my grenade launcher through the window.
Just get it down just a little.
There's no cutting. So the entire time, there's no music, there's no cutting. So we're all just in silence while he's rolling down the window.
Just a little squeak because it needs to get some WD-40 on it.
Okay, let's go. And then the music cuts back in. Like,
where are we? We just chased him with the grenade launcher.
Yeah. And then, Valerie really reveals what happened to Block, and then they try to take Val to a safe house, but she refuses.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. A safe house. Put air quotes around that.
Let's get out of here. Let's go to a safe house. If I can't practice kissing on your husband, maybe we can practice kissing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did not think for a second that he really wanted to take her to a safe house. He wanted to go with her to a safe house.
Yeah,
sure.
He was like, hey, baby, let's go to a safe house. You know, like.
Yeah. Wink. And for some reason, she allows a hug in this scene.
And it's like a very uncomfortably long. What did I write? Unconsensual hug.
Mm hmm.
But it was long enough for Leather Daddy Robot to see.
And be angry.
Yes, he's big angry.
I don't know why we're still standing near windows. Like, that should have been part of the new perimeter, right?
Because,
nobody goes in an office.
Leather Jacket incel is all like, hey, let's not stand near windows. And in the very next scene, this motherfucker's standing in front of a fucking window. My dude, my brother in Christ, what did you just say?
But we see that Dr. Block does resist the voices in his head, and he does not hit his wife. Robots are really, like, overly concerned with the relationship part, right?
Yeah, they are. And it's in a very, very not cool way, man. Like, yeah, you should kill her. She's hugging someone else. Like, let's dial it down several thousand notches. And then, like, so the whole time that's happening, the woman in the chair, Allie, managed to trace LDR's signal. That's Leather Daddy Robot. And Cole and no-nonsense badass lady go to track him down. In a car that is, again, not a Viper. This is the silver car now.
Or did we decide that this is Viper with some sort of shielding on it?
That's what I thought, but okay. I am not 100% on that. So if it could be two either. Cars, it could be one car.
We can go with the shielding.
Because it definitely has the Viper fangs on the grill. It looks really cool. So I think this is the Viper.
Okay. So this is the Viper, but with the Defender on top of the Viper. This is Viper Defender.
Yeah, okay. That's our canon. Got it. Okay.
We need an Angela the Gatekeeper for this one.
Someone who's watched all of Viper, knows it categorically.
Who's really into Viper.
Can someone who's watched Viper just like email the podcast and be like, hey, this is the premise, just a little? That'd be great.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, so finally the Viper does some stuff. It's taken us, I didn't timestamp it, but I'm going to say at least 3/4 of the episode, right?
Yes. Yep.
They get some additional beeping coming through on the frequency that Allie now has, and we're tracking him. So there's like one sound, but now we also hear some beeps. Yep.
Yes. And then somehow in all of this, villain goatee guy decides that it's a really good time to stroke his coworker's arm. So the Viper Pit does not have an HR department. And, what the fuck? But anyway. So they chase Leather Daddy Robot all the way back to the hospital. And then I guess this is kind of where we see the Viper do some superpowers. Because it like stops at the gate and then like electrifies the gate open. Or something at the
I think
same
it just
time?
Like crashes into the electrified fence.
Okay.
Yeah, and then, I see. I put down it rammed the fence.
Because it just kind of stops and then just like tiptoes up to the fence. A little.
Give it a little nudge.
Yeah, it was like a boop.
Poke. And I guess Dr. Block also ran through the same electrified fence.
Yes.
So he like crashes down and he's kind of out because the robot has been disrupted by the electricity.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and Tom, oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, circling back, one of the things that I think that's important right before this scene when Allie and Frankie are talking, that they make it really clear that if the robot blows up, it will take out a city block.
Right.
So this is a very destructive explosion that could happen.
Yeah. He put in a really destructive self-destruct. I don't think you need to do that, do you?
No. Why does it just like take him out? You know, just, you know, and take off his power. Yeah.
He just watched Spinal Tap, specifically the turn it to 11 scene. And he was like, yeah, that's brilliant. Let's do that with my self-destruct.
Yeah. It seems like an implosion would work just as good as an explosion, but what do I know? I'm not a scientist.
And there's, I have here that Block, as he's falling, recognizes and is like, Tom? Yeah. So apparently his name is Tom Cole. Okay, great.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then there's a swell in the music while they stare deeply into each other's eyes.
This is Beth's headcanon.
It's this not even my headcanon. If you look at it, they stare deeply into each other's eyes for a very long time.
I mean, they share a hug, and this is the 90s. So men don't hug on TV.
Yeah, it's true. And while the hugging is going on, there is a very lackluster hospital evacuation underway. They do not look concerned. It's very slow.
It is.
Nobody's moving with urgency. Yeah.
No, there is an explosive robot that will take out your building. But, you know, just shuffle.
And they're like, again? Damn it. That's like the fifth time this week. I'm never going to get research done. You know,
shuffle. Maybe this means that this kind of thing happens at their weird research military hospital all of the time.
I think it does. It's too routine.
Be a weird military hospital without weird evacuations every other day.
Right?
And Taco Tuesday. That's just standard, though. It's in the contract.
After their touching conversation, Block turns back into robot version. And then finally, we get to see Viper in action.
Yeah. We get some, like, little machine guns on the side.
And then, like, a big old shield, I think, like a Kevlar shield on top of so that the Kevlar fist can't go through the Kevlar shield, I guess.
Yeah. I think it was a shield. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they say, Allie says something about there's going to be a static pulse that will kill your husband.
Yeah, she chooses to tell Valerie that at this time, which seems like a weird choice for me. Like, I appreciate the impulse to give a heads up, but at the same time, like, you don't know this girl at all. Like, what if she messes things up and then more people die? Like,
exactly.
Poor Valerie. There's nothing good for her from like here on out. This poor woman is.
She's like, I didn't get to make any of the choices before. I don't get to make a choice about this now. And man, was that heartbreaking.
Yeah. But let's just talk about a little bit of what we see Viper can do. So when Block is up punching the window, the windshield, we see some like electric static or something like that kind of showing us that maybe there's like a special reinforced window kind of thing going on.
Two, maybe. Yeah.
Like a shielding. But did you guys catch that this shield does not extend to the driver's side window? Because he just punches that out.
Like it's only on the windshield and not the windows?
Oh. Exactly. Like they grab Redhead. Like he goes, punches the Viper and, you know, and goes in through the driver's side window. And I'm just like, oh, okay, well, that was an overread or overlooked on the design.
Okay, but they need to be able to shoot the grenade launcher out of somewhere if the grenade launchers on the side of the car stop working.
Right, because the Viper does have machine guns on the side of the car.
Yes.
And then I'm not sure, where is the static pulse gun? Does it just come out of the machine gun?
Oh,
I
thought Allie was doing something somehow, but I guess she was doing it through the car. Oh. I just assumed it was in the airwaves. Oh. But it's probably the car.
I would assume it's the car.
Yeah. I hope it's the car, so the car actually does something. Like, shit.
Just everybody in the city's microwaves all stop working at once because there's this thing.
There's a very upset stoner just waiting for his hot pocket to be done.
Poor guy. I have a note here, and I don't remember what it's from. Does Frankie have special hearing powers?
No. Oh. He's just a dumbass. Because, like, okay. So, like, Allie figures out what's going on. She tells Val. Then a battle ensues. And while that's going on.
It's robot fighting time.
Yeah, it's robot fighting time. And then while that's going on, there's like boop, boop, boop. That's really loud. And Frankie is all like, oh, turn that down. It's so loud. And Allie's like, chill the fuck out and be an adult, you dickwad. And he goes, I have 20/20 hearing, okay? Because he thinks he's so clever, but he's really just an idiot.
So this is sarcastic quip, Frankie.
Yeah.
Not them telling us that he has special hearing powers.
That would be super fun, though, if that was in the past episode, that, like, he got this enhancement, maybe. Even he's got his own, like, robot thing.
He's got bionic hearing.
His ears really, really good, yeah. No, he doesn't have good hearing. I don't think so. He's just a little jackass.
And then the defender hits Leather Daddy Robot with a static shock, and he drops, and Russ dies, and Val cries, and that's the end of the episode.
That's
everybody
it. Yeah.
Just walks away. Like, nobody goes in, not even Cole goes and comforts Valerie. It's just her holding her dead robot Leather Daddy husband, and that's the end of the episode.
Cool guys don't cry at explosions.
I'm just like, Jesus, like, what just happened?
Is it time we have to make predictions now?
Oh, yes, it is. I have predictions. Yeah. Y'all have predictions? Let's do this.
Lincoln, what are you doing up there?
Guessing? I guess no one's coming. I have seen into
the future. You ruined the prophecy.
Let's do it.
I forgot about the predictions part, but I do have at least one, so.
I actually forgot about that, too. So there's...
Do you want me to go, like, very slowly with mine, and then you guys, like, can...
Yeah.
Go okay. for it.
So what are the categories?
Daytime?
Daytime. Nighttime.
Is it daytime, primetime? No. There's one before primetime. Primetime's the top one, right?
Yeah. Does anybody have... one of the boys ready? Is Jafar close to you?
Hey, baby! I like that both of you responded to that. We need help with predictions.
We remember daytime, we remember primetime. We don't remember the other one.
Okay, so daytime, primetime, and then what?
Oh, daytime, evening, primetime.
Okay. Daytime, evening, primetime.
No,
got it.
She needed me.
Oh, okay, sorry, that's wrong.
And then what are they? Because I just made predictions.
Basically. Yeah, it doesn't matter. You're not doing a next. I guess theoretically you could do a next episode next year, but
okay.
They don't really matter. You can do whatever you want with them.
Okay.
Well, why don't we just do it, and then if they don't like it, they can cut it out.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to do it, and then if you don't like it, sucks to be you. It's exactly what Glow said. Glow said, if you don't like it, you can...
Glow famously says, yeah. Sucks to be you all the time.
Yeah, so if you don't like it,
I bet
Glow
that comes
said,
up a lot as an elementary school
dick.
Teacher.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you just tell your kids like, that? Sucks times. To be you.
I'm actually a high school teacher, and yes,
oh, I'm
actually,
sorry.
I do. No, and I a lot of times okay. I'll just say, like, get good. Yeah. Like, sucks to suck.
You can tell high schoolers sucks to be you all the time.
Absolutely, yeah. And yeah. I do.
Mm-hmm. My film students told me that her favorite book was Lord of the Flies because, quote, it's a bunch of hot guys on an island. What's not to like?
It's middle schoolers on an island. Gross.
She was 14. I mean, she's like barely in high school. But yeah, I think about that every time I see that book. And I hope she got the therapy she clearly needs.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay, so we can
tell me your predictions.
Okay.
You can start, Beth.
Yes. So my predictions are, and I think we're supposed to do daytime, primetime, nighttime, but...
I thought it was daytime, evening, primetime.
It's daytime, evening, primetime. That's right. So instead of doing that, I didn't. So I'm just going to do my predictions. Okay.
Okay.
Cole goes to therapy and realizes he was a dick to Val. Villain Goatee gets an inquiry opened on him by HR because come on. Leather Daddy Robot comes back and takes over the Viper for a bit. This is one of many crossover episodes with the X-Files. And then the last one is the nanobots are acquired by Bill Gates and Steve Jobs as part of a revolutionary vaccine. Because I like to poke the bear.
Really, that's all that this episode is about, is knowing that, you know, the evils of 5G, guys, and that we are definitely anti-vaxxers. So.
We are not. Disclaimer, that was a fun joke.
I have a couple of predictions. I don't have as many as you, Beth, but I'm going to predict that we never see Valerie again. Like,
I think that's solid. Absolutely solid.
Like, this was a best friend that we clearly hadn't talked to in like 10 years, but was a best friend. I think this woman does not come back even as a love interest, which could have been a thing in the 90s. Like, oh, Valerie again. But no, I think we never see her again.
I think that's true.
And then I'm going to predict that Tom and the FBI agent, whose name I never caught, go on to have several more episodes, you know, maybe not sequentially, but he's going to be around for a while, and there's going to be a lot of homoerotic tension there, like under the surface.
I love that prediction. It's my favorite one.
What about you, Glow? What do you think?
Okay, so my daytime prediction is that the very next episode, we will definitely, I agree with Laura, we will never hear about Valerie again.
For sure.
And there will definitely be a new love interest for Cole.
For sure.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. My evening is, are we doing evening yet? You
Go
guys
ahead.
Did all of yours, right? That we will have a Viper boat. That there will be a situation where the Viper will be outfitted as an amphibious vehicle, and we will have an episode either in a bay or at sea or something along those lines.
Yeah. The Love Boat, Viper Edition.
Yes, the Viper Boat, yes. And prime time, I'm going to ship Frankie and Allie, that there will be something going on between the two of them. I think that Redhead and Cole are too easy, because we know that Cole is definitely going to make a pass at Redhead at some point.
Uh-huh.
And she's just going to like body slam him with her wit. But I think that there will be a really special cute romance between Frankie and Allie, and that her gentleness and his outgoingness are just going to be the cutest thing, with lots of awesome witty banter.
I have another prediction now based on that, is that the final episode of Viper is Allie and Frankie's wedding. Definitely that.
And the car, so Viper is the overseer, is the...
The officiant?
Yeah.
The officiant!
Yeah. The officiant!
Oh, and we get the final scene is there's cans tied to the back of Viper, and it says just married in the back window.
Yeah.
And they drive away into the sunset.
Yeah, perfect. Chef's kiss.
Yes.
And the boat does the soundtrack. Bam, bam, ba, bam, 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 bam. It's perfect.
Well, yeah, on loudspeaker. We saw the loudspeaker.
Yeah. All right, guys. Do we want to get into our thank yous?
Yes, we do. Thank you to Ripe for our theme song, Goon Squad. We still can't believe it's real. You're letting us use the song. It's one of our favorites. You can find the music on all streaming services. Thank you to the Lab Rats, everyone who leaves a review for the podcast and joins the What Happa Her Discord. You can find it on all our socials. Thank you to Annette Lucina, who took the photograph we used to make our logo under Creative Commons. Thank you for making free art so we can make free art. We'll see you next time on Last Time On.
Bye.
Bye. Guys.
Bye.
We did it. Buddy, I'm podcasting. I love you.
Hey, that's the stinger for the episode right there after the credits. Just take
buddy,
that.
Buddy, I'm podcasting. Come here.
Perfect. I love that. That's perfect.
Do you want to see what I'm doing? Come here. This is Henry.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing?
Nice to see you.
You know Miss Beth, and that's Laura.
Yeah.
Hi.
Do you want to say anything into the microphone?
I forgot.
Beautiful. Okay, can you go out with Daddy, buddy?
A classic.
Love you.
Me, every time I'm podcasting.